Tony Shirley said, God shows up when Korah sings. He didn't mention anything about Levi, amen. And, Brother Tony told me that Levi sang Saturday morning in that youth meeting down to Brother Lee Pointer's, and he was still in the service. He was texting me, telling me what a blessing they were, and I sure don't want to take them for granted myself, tell them I appreciate them. Levi don't like me talking about his songs much, but the Lord has given him a gift. I believe the Lord gives those things, amen? And Levi's coming up with me this week. I'll be in Ohio, and the Rochesters will be there the entire time, and Levi's got a meeting with them about copywriting and producing his songs, so pray that goes well, amen? And I'd like for other people to hear them, get a blessing out of them. But take your Bible and go to Matthew chapter number 17 tonight. Matthew chapter number 17. I promise you, I'm not going to be long. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. I'm going to preach till I'm through, and I've just got a feeling that through is not far away. Amen. You ever feel like that? You know, I feel like I'm going to be out of gas before I get started good. Maybe the preacher's one that needs to fill the can. Amen. But the Lord gave me just a little thought tonight, and I just want to share it with you, and I hope it'll be a help. And Matthew chapter number 17, I want you to look with me at verse number 1. The Bible said, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart. And a lot of times when the Lord wants to do something special in your life, he'll pull you aside. Amen. He wants to do something real and do a great work in your heart. He's got to get you apart. Apart from what? Everything else. Everything else. Got to come apart from the job. Got to come apart from the spouse. Got to come apart from the hobbies. Got to come apart from the bills and just get alone with him. Amen. So that ain't got nothing to do with the message tonight. I just thought I'd mention he brought them and he got them somewhere apart. The Bible said in verse number 2, and was transfigured before them. I like that, don't you? And his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it's good for us to be here. I'll never forget Dean McNeese preaching from this. Just as a read through there, Brother Dean said, Peter wants to have a meeting. Amen. Anyway, he said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. He said, if thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias. And while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. In other words, Peter, hush. Yeah, every now and then we just need to hush, amen, and let the Lord talk. And the Bible said, and when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face. Now look at this statement. And they were what? Sore afraid. That means very. They were very afraid. They wasn't just shaken a little bit. The Bible said they were sore afraid. I imagine if you heard an audible voice of God coming out of the heaven telling you to hush. You reckon you'd be afraid? I mean, if you and your husband is fussing and you just say, yeah, 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 and all of a sudden out of nowhere, God says, hey, this is God, shut up. They were sore afraid. What they heard, I mean, stopped them cold dead in their tracks. They were sore afraid. Now, I love the next verse, and this is where I'm going tonight. The Bible said, and Jesus came and, say the next 2 words with me, touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. They had a problem a while ago. They had their eyes on men wanting to build a statue. Yeah. But when they opened their eyes, the men was gone. Wasn't nobody left but Jesus. Amen. Listen, when all the men are gone, when all the friends are gone, when all the goods are gone, and all the people are gone, Jesus will still be standing. Amen. Yeah. When everybody else passes away, the Lord will still be standing. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. He said, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the first and the last. And by the way, he's everything in between. Amen. I might just get happy right here tonight. The Bible said they were sore afraid and Jesus touched them. and Jesus touched them. We sang a while ago, somebody touch me. Glory, 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 somebody touch me. How many of you remember when the Lord touched your life? You remember when the hand of God touched your life? Oh, what a glorious day when the hand of God is placed on your life. Amen. And by the way, you can't have the touch of God and not know it. You can't have the hand of God on you and not know it. When the Lord touches you, you know it. Amen. You know it wasn't an emotion. You know it wasn't a religious ceremony. You know it was a real, tangible thing. Amen. How many of you could feel it when you got saved? We don't base what we got on a feeling, but thank God we can feel it. Amen. Brother, when that much wickedness goes out of you and that much holiness comes in you, you can feel it. Amen. And it's almost like Jesus there was transfigured before then. Amen. A lot of times I'm gone, and I try to keep that 3 days at a minimum. But a couple of times a year, I have a little bit of an extended meeting. The camp we do up in Pennsylvania, I'm gone the entire week, Monday through Friday, and I'm alone. Somebody go, oh, I'm alone in a motel all week long. I miss my wife and just agonize my wife, and I get home, and it doesn't take much, Brother Charles, just a touch. Amen. Just a touch. And those anxieties of being homesick are gone. Whatever I'm worried about or stressed over is gone just at the touch of her hand. Now, she's just a woman and a wicked one at that. Amen. She is. You all are. Amen. We're all just wicked old flesh. Amen. I wasn't downgrading my wife there, but sounded that way, didn't it? But if her touch can have that kind of change, and if her touch can have that kind of effect, what kind of touch can the Lord have? Somebody, and this will be my title tonight, somebody had written a song back several years ago. Miss Janice might be able to help me. I can't remember who sang it, but here was the title of the song. Touch me again, Lord. I need your power. Is that how it went? Something like that. Touch me again, Lord. Sometimes we don't need a second salvation, but sometimes we need a second touch. Say it again. Not a second salvation. You can't get that but one time. Unless you didn't really get it the first time. Because if you ever really get it the first time, they ain't no need for a second time. Amen? But every now and then, I need a touch. Every now and then, I just ask the Lord, Lord, I need a touch. I remember the old timers, Brother Charles, they'd pray, Lord, we need a touch. I didn't know what they were talking about. I didn't have a clue, man. They'd get up in the pulpit and they'd preach about, boy, we need the touch of God on this thing. I thought, what are you talking about, the touch of God? I'm glad on that New Year's Eve when the Lord saved my soul, I found out what the old timers was talking about. Woo! I knew what the touch of God was. Amen. I want to talk about several touches tonight when the Lord will touch you in your life and it'll make a difference. At your salvation, the touch of salvation, that is the very first touch of the Lord. Now, at conviction, he has brought the reality to light that you're a sinner, but he ain't touched you. You're still a sinner. You're still on your way to hell. You're sitting there and you're worried about your soul and where you're going to spend forever. You lay in the bed and pray the Lord doesn't come. I mean, boy, God been dealing with your heart and dealing with your heart. Some of these church members that got saved. I mean, boy, they struggle with that thing and struggle with that thing. Brother CJ's wife, she did. And Miss Terry, she did. And no doubt in their mind, in their struggles, that's an agonizing thing. Probably some anxiety over that nervousness, not knowing whether or not I'm a child of God. But when the touch of God come, when the touch of God comes, when God's hand literally touches your soul, brother, there's something that happens automatically, instantaneously. All of a sudden, there's no more doubt, there's no more fear. Amen. You know why I got saved? I didn't get saved because I wanted to go to heaven when I die. I had nothing to do with it. When you get saved, it's a selfish motive. Would you agree? I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. Heaven was an afterthought. I mean, it was like, wow, I ain't got to go to hell and I get to go to heaven? I would have been satisfied with ain't got to go to hell. Amen. I'd have been satisfied if I just got saved and didn't have to go to hell and was banished to Alabama for the rest of my life. I'd have been fine with that. But I missed hell and I get heaven. I didn't deserve either one. I deserve to burn. I deserve to fry in the pits of the damned throughout all eternity. But Jesus touched my life.
Amen.
The touch of salvation. Do you remember it?
Yes, amen.
How is it that you get over it so easily? How is it that you lose the excitement of it so easily? Listen, I've been saved 27 years now. I'm still shouting about it. It still does something to my inside. It still makes me tingle. It still makes chill bumps pop up on my arm when I think about what the touch of God did in my life. Most powerful touch ever happened. Changed my eternal destiny just with a touch. The touch of salvation. Do you know that touch? Do you know that touch? Listen, I'm not in the game of talking people out of their salvation. Some people call them retreaders. I'm not that way. But here these last couple of months, God keeps putting something in my heart about these lost church members. And slowly but surely, we're going to keep hitting it till they all say. You say, who are they? I don't know. I don't know, but the Holy Ghost does. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight, and you may disagree with me, but I believe if you ever get what I got, you won't never wonder. There may be days the devil will cast a little doubt, but you'll run that off pretty quick. If you ever really get what I got. Now, sometimes people get saved at an early age, and most of their wickedness they do is after their salvation. They backslide and they get away from God. They really got saved. They really did. But they get so backslid they don't feel saved. Now understand, I'm not trying to confuse you. But if you have ever come to the place where you realize you're on your way to hell and you cried out unto God for salvation and He touched your life, you will never, ever, 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 ever forget that. People like Brother Freddie and I, we weren't saved till we was on, how old were you? 23. He was older than I was. I was 19. He is 23. And there ain't nothing you could do to make him forget that. He could get senile and have Alzheimer's and not remember who Shelley is. But I guarantee you, have you ever been in a nursing home? Have you ever done that? Isn't that an amazing thing? They don't know their own children when they show up, but they can tell you about how they got saved. Son, that always blows. I felt something right there. Did y'all? That always blows my mind. They don't even know their own kids, but bless God, they can tell you about when Jesus touched their life. Woo! Ain't that amazing? Why? Because it's that real. The touch of salvation. I have that assurance. It's that rock solid. It's that concrete. When I went down under that pine tree, Jason, I was scared to death. What were these disciples? What was their state of mind? Sore afraid. They're scared to death. Just one touch. They're laying on their faces on the ground. And the Lord comes over and says, it's okay, boy.
Yeah, brother.
That's the way it was under that pine tree, Brother Charles. I went down a sinner, but I came up a saint of God. But the Lord put His hand, and all the fear went away. And I've never feared hell for myself since that day. Why? Nothing to be afraid of. I'm not afraid of hell. I'm afraid of hell for you if you're not saved. Hell scares me to death for those who are going there. That it doesn't scare me on my behalf because I'm as close to it right now as I'll ever be. I'm fireproof. Amen. We could kick open the door and fight hell with a water pistol. That's how saved we are. I believe if we did go into hell, we wouldn't burn. Amen. Why? Because God is in my heart. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego went into a fire heated seven times hotter than a flame, and Jesus was in the midst of the fire. The only thing burnt was the ropes that had them bound up. Good Lord Almighty, somebody ought to shout and get happy right there that God has touched your life. The touch of salvation. Do you know that touch? You said, preacher, it's Sunday night. I'm aware of that. I have a phone. It has a clock on it and everything. I know it's Sunday night, but are you sure of that? Are you as sure of that as you are your own name? I'll be honest with you, I'm more sure of that than I am my own name. My mother, they named me at birth Edward after my daddy and my granddaddy on my daddy's side. Roy is my middle name after my great-grandfather, Granny Faye's daddy. Well, when my mother filled out my birth certificate, she put a tail on her O. Made me Ray. So just by mistake, legally, my name is Ray. But physically, it's supposed to be Roy. What I'm trying to say, are you Ray or are you Roy? According to who you ask it. Goes either way. My driver's license says Ray. Y'all all right? So I'm more sure about that name that's written down in glory, and I don't even know what it is. Amen. I think it's John Wayne. I don't know. Amen. I just know there's a new name written down in glory, and hallelujah, it's mine. Somebody just say amen right there. Clap your hands, wiggle, do something. Are you as sure as I sound like I am? Are you that settled about your salvation? If God's ever touched your life, you're that sure. Yes. Amen? There is the touch of salvation. Thank God for it. Amen. Then there is a touch for service. There is a touch for service. I'm glad God doesn't just put us in His family, but He finds us a place in His family. Amen. Jerry and Irene had not a clue. I mean, Jerry stopped on the side of the road, read a gospel tract that Brother Eric Knight gave him, prayed a sinner's prayer, and got saved. He didn't have any idea he was going to be preaching to young'uns in overalls. Never crossed his mind. But you know what? Crossed God's mind. Cross God's mind, they came here, begin to grow. Irene got saved and begin to grow, and God began to work in their life. Both of their children got saved and begin to grow, and the whole time God is preparing them, and the whole time God knows there's a little group of young'uns back there, and there's a barn that needs to be built, and there's some puppets that need to be put into place, and there's some things that need to be done, and God touched them not only in salvation but in service. God is interested in more than your soul. If he was not, he'd just take you out of here. You belong to him. Amen. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. Amen. I go up here to the Chevrolet place, and I believe that might be God's will. Amen. Amen. And buy one of them new Z71 four-door trucks. Y'all seen them? But have y'all seen them that come from the factory set up a little bit? Got them 20-inch rims on them? Amen. I believe the Lord's pleased with that. Amen. Amen. Listen to me carefully. If I went up there and reached in my pocket and had cash money to pay for that $40-something thousand truck, do you think I'm going to go home without it? It's mine. I bought it. I paid for it. Give me the keys. Or it's mine. I bought it. I paid for it. But them ain't the rims I want. That ain't the radio I want. In other words, there's something more I have use for it being there. In other words, if you're saved, God has a purpose for you still being here. Amen. Does that make sense? There is a reason. And I don't care if you're 8 or 80. Granny Faye's 85 years old. She can't walk. But you know what? I believe she does as much for God as any of you. Amen. Amen. Tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, her grandson, the best looking one of them, by the way, her grandson is going to be preaching in Milford, Ohio. At 7 o'clock tomorrow night, I ain't even got to be there. I can tell you what will be going on in my grandmother's living room. She'll look at that watch and go, oh, Eddie's about to preach. And she'll drop that little head, boy, and she'll begin to pray. God touch him and God use him. God fill him with your spirit and fill him. 85 years old, still got something to give. If God's got you here, God has you here for a reason. As a child, did you ever lay in the bed and wonder why you was ever born? Usually right after a good whooping. I want to die. Why was I ever born? Well, one lady got the bumper sticker on the car, born to shop. Honey, that ain't it. I'm sorry, that ain't your reason. Might be something you enjoy, man. Kelly said, yeah, I can hear your head rattling all the way up here. Yeah, it is. That's my reason. No, we weren't born to shop. God has a service for us to do. Amen. And I won't labor this too long, but listen, they're all great. They're all great. Amen. I remember Jack Hiles talking about when he was in Bible school. He said they'd send them preacher boys out to fill pulpits of little churches that don't have pastors. Like Levi did that when he was in college. in Benton, Arkansas, I believe where it was. But they sent Jack Hiles out to this little nowhere town in Texas and sent him to pastor this little old bitty church. And they got up in Bible class one day, and the instructor was asking each one of them to tell about their church. And said Jack Hiles stood up and he said, "Well, I pastor the little church over." And the guy said, "Sit down and hush." He thought, "What did I do?" He said, "Son, you get something through your ears right now. There are no little churches. They're all important to God. The big one, the little one, the one in between, God doesn't put one over the other." So let me just say to you tonight, there are no little jobs. If it ain't nothing but putting cough drops in a can so the preacher can breathe on Sunday morning, hallelujah, that's a big thing. Amen. If it ain't nothing but running a vacuum over a floor, wiping the snot off the nose of a bus kid, taking a bus, where's D at? Taking a bus on Saturday when you got other things you could be doing and filling that bus up. Taking that bus back to the church, get another bus and going and filling it up. Taking it back, go get another bus and go fill it up. That's a big job. Amen. That's service for God. Hallelujah. How have you know? One of them buses, I ain't sure which one. One of them buses you put gas in yesterday, I imagine, brought a youngin' to church this morning that got born again. Let me say it again. That's a big job. I don't care how little your job you think is for Christ. You need to do it like your pastor in this church. Amen. You need to go at it like it is the biggest job. Martha was cumbered about, remember, much serving. In other words, she's busy cooking, preparing food. I thought about Stacy and taking care of people when they in the hospital and coming home from surgery and all that. She took that stuff serious, man. She took it serious enough. She's gonna reprimand Jesus. "Hey, why don't you tell her to get in here to help me?" And Jesus, I just see him shaking his head. "Martha, Martha, thou art cumbered about much serving, but there's one thing that's needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part." Yes. Are you listening? I don't care what it is you're doing for God. It's important. Amen. It's important. We come in here Saturday for the funeral, and Dylan was sitting down over here, Dylan O'Kelly, and I looked up, and it was just the disarray up here. I don't like that. It's just a OCD, but the songbooks were stacked up here, and they weren't even, and I called Dylan up. I said, "Dylan, come here. He said, "What is it?" I said, "I want you to go down there and straighten up them songbooks. And there's a bright yellow songbook laying there. Move that bright yellow book." I said, "I just want it to look right. If that bright yellow songbook is gonna distract somebody from hearing the preaching, that's a big job." I stopped at a store and got, I was out of cough drops a while back, and I stopped at a store on the way to church and got some. And I never have change in my pockets at church, ever. I don't carry change in dress pants pockets. It just, I don't know. I'm weird about that too. Thank you, brother. Somebody feels the way I do. Hallelujah. But I stopped at the store and I paid with cash, and the lady gave me about 90 cents in change. What I bought was like $1.10. And I had $2, so I got 90 cents in change. I stuck all that in my pocket and I come to church. The whole time I'm preaching, I don't know it, but I'm playing with that change. Say amen, Irene. At the end of the service, Irene comes and she's standing right there. And she's doing like this. I said, "What?" She said, "Give it to me." I said, "What?" She said, "The change in your pocket." She said, "I don't even have a clue what you preach. All I heard was that change." What I'm saying is little things the devil can take and distract somebody and they'll never even hear the word of God. Somebody will come in and something's out of sorts and out of disarray, and that's where their mind is the whole service. Well, I'm just trying to get this across to you. Whether it's straightening up a songbook, whether it's picking up paper out of the floor, whether it's driving a bus, teaching a class, whatever it is, it's a big, big job. And I appreciate every last one of them. Amen. Every last one of them I appreciate. I don't care if it's wiping dirty rear ends in the nursery. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Somebody got to do it. Amen. The touch of salvation. The touch of service. Do you remember when God let you do something? Anybody remember that? That was almost as great as my salvation. I'm 19 years old. I just got saved. I ain't been saved for 4 weeks. I ain't done nothing but go to church. I was happy enough right there. I'm standing in the aisle of church, Brother Frank Bird. He's in heaven now. Brother Charles probably remembers Brother Frank. Brother Jeff Bird down here at Gateways, his dad, he was one of the deacons, and he just happened to be over the bus ministry. I'm standing in the aisle on this side after church. Brother Frank Bird walks up, and he's shaking my hand. And he said, "Boy, your mama's bus needs a driver." Back then, we didn't have CDL. It was Class C, Class 5, Class something. I said, "Brother Frank, I ain't got no Class 5. He said, "I didn't ask you what you had. I told you your mama needed a driver." I said, "I ain't even old enough to get that, I don't think." He said, "Read my lips, son. I didn't ask you what you had." He said, "We got deputies in the church. We ain't worried about that. Your mama needs a driver." And I didn't think nothing of it. But Brother Freddie, that Sunday morning, I got on that bus. And I started down that road, that big old steering wheel in my hand. And it dawned on me what I was doing. It hit me right square between the eyes. I'm doing the very thing that brought me to Jesus, and I'm getting to do it for some other little boy. Woo-hoo! I'm driving down the road, big old tears rolling down my eyes. And Mama said, "What's the matter, son?" I said, "Can you believe what I'm doing?" And Mama got to crying. I'm telling you, brother, when God touches you and lets you have a part in what He's doing, it'll bless your soul. Amen. Just to think God, out of the millions of people on this planet, was it 6 billion, something like that? He picked you. I think this is as great a church anywhere around. He picked me. I know me. Y'all listening? He picked you. You know you. I see your best. But you know your worst. And God still let you? We get the attitude, "I've got to do this and I've got to do that." No, you get to do this and you get to do that. God has honored you, letting you take a part in His work and His service. Brother, that's a big deal. Quit griping about the nursery and thank God He give you health enough you can rock a baby. Amen. I don't care who you are, you're just human enough, you get to the spot where you're griping about what you got to do for God. Well, let's just give you salvation back and go on to hell. Yeah. Not none of me. No, sir. I told my wife, pulling out of the driveway today, I said, "I really, really do not want to come home and pack a suitcase. I really don't." I can remember a day when I would have paid somebody to let me pack a suitcase, come preach in their meeting. I don't mind going, I just don't want to leave. I don't know if you'll understand that or not. I'll enjoy it once I get there. But I get to. I'm as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs. I'm preaching with the big shots this week, friend. I'm going to give the invitation, amen? I think it's Thursday night, I'm preaching with Brother David Gibbs. Please let me go first. I'll say whatever he says. Amen. I'm excited. There's a part of me that would just soon stay home. But then I think, I get to do this again. The Lord let me do this again. Hey, He could stop me at any time. He could cut you off at any time too. Amen. Some of y'all's got a beautiful voice and won't sing for God. He could have you sounding like a crow. He could have polyps. He could put polyps in your throat. You have to have surgery and you'd never be able to sing a lick again. Y'all okay? That crowd out yonder in Nashville that started out singing in church somewhere and now they're out there singing for the world and got them a tour bus and doing concerts all over. Are y'all listening? I'd be very afraid. I believe talent is a gift. I don't think singing is something you can learn. It's not something, it's a gift. It's a gift. music is not something necessarily that can always be taught. Either you got it or you don't. Amen. Brother Todd, I don't know if y'all realize this or not. Brother Todd didn't take piano lessons. Brother Todd was about 14 years old. They had a piano in the house, and Sister Rita was in the kitchen one day, and she heard somebody playing the piano. Well, she said, "When'd you learn to do that?" He said, "Just now." It was a gift. God forbid he use it for something else. Service. The touch of salvation. Oh, how sweet. I'm glad I know that. I pray you know that. The touch of service when God lets you do something. Amen. Half of the men in this room right now have said at one point or time that God's called them to preach. I'm looking around, almost everyone. Wow. And almost every one of them has done it. At least once. God let you do that? And you're not pursuing it? I'd like to see some pastors go out of here. I get phone calls all the time. "Preacher, do you know anybody? We need a preacher." Not that I want to get rid of any of you, but God put you here for that reason. Amen. God didn't call you to preach to sit on a pew and die the rest of your life. I used to wonder in all these meetings when they'd ask the preachers to stand, and all the preachers say, I'm so-and-so from so-and-so. I grew up in White Oak, man. You shook a bush, a preacher fell out. And they'd always say they was called to preach. And I thought, well, where'd you get called to? Y'all okay? Yeah. You get to do it, but aren't pursuing it. Amen. There's something in here. Yes, sir. There's something in here, son. Amen. I'm going to preach or I'm going to die. Amen. Amen. Y'all all right? Yeah. I get to do it. Yeah. He picked me. I'm talking about uneducated. Jonathan McNeese asked me the other day, he said, "Man, how in the world are you preaching all over the Northeast?" He said, "You're the biggest redneck." He said, "I thought I was country till I heard you talk." I said, "Man, you should have heard me when I first started preaching up there." They really didn't understand half of what I said. And the Lord lets me do that. A touch of service. Now, don't take for granted. The gifts and the callings of God, the Bible said, are without repentance. In other words, there ain't no place to quit, friend. Amen. And you'll thank God every day he let you do something. Amen. He could let you be in jail. Amen. Brother Jason's probably where you ought to be. Amen. Probably where you ought to be. Truth be known, amen. Crimes he's done should be in jail. Amen. Stood in this pulpit yesterday. I'm talking about a crackhead dope dealer. Come on, preacher. Responsible for ruining the lives of many young people. Amen. He put the dope in their hand. Stood right here yesterday at 2 o'clock and preached a funeral like he had done it 100 times. I'm talking about the hand of God on him, the touch of God on him. You got to do that. Woo! I mean, man, that ought to fire you up. Do you ever find yourself, could you find yourself not believe, I can't believe I'm doing this. I'm sorry, I'm stuck right here. I may not even preach the rest of the message, but I cannot believe I'm doing this. It's better than jumping out of an airplane, man, with a parachute. I mean, there's just some things I would love to do in life. I'd love to fly in one of them F-14, them fighter jets. That'd be cool as grits right there, friend. I'd love a parachute. But I got a feeling it's all going to take a backseat to right here. It's all going to, this is what I get to do. And it don't cost me nothing. Hallelujah. The touch of salvation, the touch of service. Let me just give you a couple of these right quick. There's a touch of separation. Come out from among them, be you separate, he said. He said, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Listen to me. There is a time when God separates you, that separation comes before the service. God separates you to do something else. When I first got saved, I didn't understand it. But the Lord convicted my heart very heavy about some guys I was running around with. Nobody fussed at me. Nobody said a word. But I coon hunted with these fellas just about every week. One of them come by the house one Friday, said, "We go in the woods tonight." I said, "I'm sorry, I can't go." "Your wife won't let you?" "Oh, yes, she'll let me." "Well, why ain't we going?" I said, "I'm sorry, guys, I just can't go because I can't do what y'all are doing." Amen. Boy, they got so mad at me. And that hurt. Boy, it broke my heart. They said, "Oh, you think you're better than us now because you got religion." I said, "No, I didn't get religion. I got saved." Yeah. I said, "It's not because I'm better than you. It's because I'm just like you. Yeah. Right. And if I go with you, I'm going to do what you do." Yeah. I said, "Ain't you. It's me." Amen. And over the years, every one of them friends has told me how much they appreciated me. Well, you know what the Lord was doing? I didn't know, but He was separating me for something. Amen. He was separating me for this. Amen. The touch of separation. Then there's the touch of strength. Oh, Lord, Lord. Yes. Paul said, "Lord, this thorn," I don't know what the thorn is. I've heard many speculate different things. I don't know. It was enough that it bothered the apostle enough that he asked God three times, "Take it away." Amen. Whatever it was, he asked him over and over. And finally, the Lord answered him. Here's what he said. He said, "Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee." Yes. There's a touch of salvation. There's a touch of service. There's a touch of separation, but there's a touch of strength. There's a touch of strength. Have you ever had God strengthen you? Yes. Have you ever had that happen? How many of you know what I'm talking about? Amen. You've had God strengthen you. Amen. The day we buried my dad, most every one of y'all were there. Man, my heart was ripped from me. I sat in the office there at the funeral home just minutes before the funeral. I told Brother Charles to be ready because in my heart, I'm saying, I can't do this. I can't do this. When I buried my Aunt Gail here just a few months ago, in my heart, I was saying, I can't do this. I'm not going to make it. This is too much. But boy, there come a little touch. There come a little touch and God strengthened you. You ever just grown weak and weary in your faith? I mean, you're just as weak as water. If somebody asked you to pray for them, you'd think, what good's that going to do? Won't you pray for me? Can you be honest enough to shake your head and say, been there? Been there? I ain't no shape to pray for nobody. I'm weak. You ever had God strengthen you? Maybe He does it in a service. Maybe He does it in a service. The other night when Jonathan was here, oh my goodness, when he was talking about you can't even believe what you see. Y'all remember that? He was talking about that coat of many colors with all that goat blood on it. And he said, talking about the devil. Y'all visualize whatever that coat is in your life, didn't you? And God strengthened you in that thing?
Yes, sir.
I mean, God strengthened you in that thing. And I'm telling you, there is a touch of strength. There is a touch that God can give you that'll make you 10 foot tall and bulletproof.
Amen.
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 I'm not talking about proud. I'm not talking about cocky, but I'm talking about sure.
Amen.
Thank God for the touch of strength.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I found out sometimes when I'm at my weakest, I'm at my strongest.
Amen.
When there's so little of me, it has to be all of Him.
That's right.
I pray every time before I come to the pulpit, God, help me to go away. Help me to go away. Let it be You. Let them hear from heaven and not from me. John said, I got to decrease. You see, John was a pretty popular fella. John had a big following. And John said, I got to step down so He can be magnified. Come, let us magnify His name together.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank God for the touch of strength.
Amen, brother.
How many of you don't have to raise your hand, but I wonder how many of you have ever been able, ready, or are willing to throw in the towel at that point? I'm not talking about quit what you're doing. I'm talking about quit.
Yes, sir.
Period. I've had the devil sit down on my shoulder and say, you know what they're paying union plumbers right now? You know how much money you could be making right now? Ain't nobody listening to nothing you got to say anyhow. He'll tell you. He'll tell you you're of no effect, you ain't helping nobody, blah, 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 and you get so stinking weak. Spiritually weak. If my spirituality was dynamite, I wouldn't have enough to blow my nose. But then in some special way, whether it's in a song or a service or a sermon, that touch, boy. Woo, where'd that come from? I ain't talking about it takes days. I'm talking about right now I feel better. I believe I could preach. Amen. The touch of strength. There's a touch of satisfaction. Let me say it again. There is a touch of satisfaction. You know what David said? David said, I shall be satisfied. Now, this is one thing I struggle with because I love stuff too much. I love stuff. You couldn't build a building big enough to hold all the stuff that I want. Amen. Somebody says, what do you want for Christmas? My reply is, you can't afford it. I don't want nothing cheap. But do you know what it means to be satisfied? Do you know what it means to be satisfied? There is a touch of satisfaction. The Lord will satisfy your soul. I have been at the point to where I've never been more satisfied in my life when God gives that thing. Amen. Are you satisfied tonight? Are you satisfied with Him? The touch of salvation, service, separation, strength, satisfaction. Thank God for His touch. Son, you want to testify? Or are you just standing up? Okay. Well, I don't want to leave you out. I'm done. Miss Janice, won't you come? No, excuse me, I'm sorry. Brother Tommy, where'd he go? Come sing He Touched Me. How about that? Amen. Touch of God. Touch me again, Lord. Touch me again. Have you ever prayed that prayer? Lord, I need a touch. I need to feel heaven move. Amen. Let's stand our feet tonight. Yes, sir, brother.
Praise the Lord this morning. I guess it's the second time I've seen you here. Boy named Lawrence Hayes. We just came to our Sunday school class. I told Brother Eddie, I'm Brother Freddie. Back in probably in between 80 and 85, I run Buster out and visited his family every week.
Amen.
And him and his brother and the other brother, Joe and Tommy.
Amen. Yeah. Amen, brother. Hallelujah. That's one of the things I love, to be somewhere out in public with my mother and see these adults come up to her and tell her where they're working in church and what they're doing for God that she brought on a bus all them years ago. Amen. It pays off, man. It pays off. Go ahead, Brother Tommy. God do-